Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're definitely in our summer morning format today. Listen to those people who are saying, hey, it's almost over, summer's over. Enjoy it. It's 11 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time for Dean Richards' Morning Entertainment News, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. How you doing, Dean?
Happy Labor Day.
Don't start with me. Well, Barbara Streisand is not happy. Why?
She is criticizing the latest version of A Star is Born. Now, I know this movie came out 3 years ago. And at the time, she actually gave it her blessing, but now she was on an Australian talk show and said that the movie could have been better, that it wasn't original, that it copied her version of A Star is Born from 1976 because the primary players in it were musicians and singers instead of actors, like the two previous versions of A Star is Born. She said that she originally had heard that the pairing would be Beyonce and Leonardo DiCaprio or Jennifer Lopez and Will Smith, which admittedly both would be very interesting combinations on that, but it wasn't. It was Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and she said that their version was not that original.
I wonder why now.
Yeah.
Weird. They've announced the Country Music Hall of Fame inductees. Any surprises on the list?
I guess some people are a little surprised to see Ray Charles on the list, only because he's best known, you know, for R&B and rock and roll. But Ray Charles more than made his contribution to country music as well. Did duets with Willie Nelson and with Johnny Cash. Had an album out back in 1962 called The Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music. I want to go back and listen to that. Mm-hmm. So he's being inducted into the Country Hall of Fame. He's already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Judds are being inducted as well in the next class. Naomi and Winona, that were the most successful duo in country music back in the 1980s, also musicians Pete Drake and Eddie Bayers will be inducted. The ceremony, they don't know exactly when or where or how any of this is going to take place just yet, but those are the people who will be going in the next class.
This Field of Dreams TV series that we're hearing about, has that been in the works for a long time, or did somebody just come up with that because of the high ratings on the baseball game?
This is the first that I'm hearing of it, and I think it was sparked by the popularity and how well-received the Field of Dreams game was last week between the Sox and the Yankees. It was the most-watched regular season game, MLB game, in 16 years. So tremendously popular. And I can't believe that they have not thought of making Field of Dreams a TV series. It's such an iconic movie. But the series will be based on the 1989 classic. They do not know whether or not Kevin Costner will somehow be involved, or even if his character from the movie will somehow be involved, or they'll spin it off into something else. But it's supposed to be set to be broadcast on the Peacock streaming service. sometime next year.
Judging by what I heard Kevin Costner say about any idea of remaking that movie, I doubt whether he'll be involved at all, because it was clear that his feeling is, we made an almost perfect movie, don't touch it, leave it alone.
Well, all that true, but I could see him acting in some sort of executive producer capacity.
Maybe.
To, you know, ensure the integrity of it, to make sure, you know, that the new Field of Dreams is not set in a malt shop with Screech and, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, who knows what they might do to it, and if he is involved in some way. I don't even know if he has the rights, really. I mean, he starred in the original movie, but I don't know that he has the rights to the actual movie itself, but I could see where he would want to be protective of it.
True.
The movie was based, wasn't it, on the book Shoeless Joe in the first place?
So, yes, it was.
So, I mean, they have a lot of source material from which to choose, and hopefully, if they're going to do this, I mean, part of the reason people remember this film so fondly is because of the beauty and integrity of the original storyline, the relationship between father and son in this movie. If they were to, you know, do something crazy like like a Baywatch of baseball or something like that. I'm coming up with all these great story ideas. I hope somebody's writing these down.
You've been hanging around the Hollywood producers too long.
That might be. That's definitely true.
We'll get to interesting news about a former Modern Family star, and also the song that has now become the longest charting song of all time. It's 8:22. Dean Richards, what is the deal with the former Modern Family star?
Well, the star that I'm talking about was the young man who was Luke on the show. He was the adorable but kind of dim-witted son of the Dumfies on that show. He's now 22 years old. And the show's been out of original episodes for a couple of years now, but he's finding some new things to do. So he posted some video on his Instagram account yesterday of him taking pole dancing lessons. Nolan Gould is his name, and he calls himself having a body made out of Lego bricks, and that he's uncoordinated and inflexible. He knows he's not good at it, but he just wanted to give it a try. And he also gave himself a pole dancer name, Tragic Mike. And if you are so inclined to go look at the video on Instagram today, you'll see what I'm talking about. But all grown up, it's kind of fun to watch these child stars that we know as grown-up people now.
Thank goodness for social media, where we wouldn't be able to watch all of
exactly
these wonderful things.
Exactly.
And let's get to this song that's become the longest charting song of all time. So it's been on the charts longer than any other record?
Any other record of all time. Here it is. The artist called The Weeknd, and it is his song Blinding Lights. If you recognize it, it's probably because it was the finale of his Super Bowl halftime show that took place earlier this year. This song has been on the charts for 88 consecutive weeks, which passes up the previous winner, Imagine Dragons' Radioactive, that spent 87 weeks on the charts between 2012 and 2014. This is also the first and only song ever to spend 1 year in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 chart. So the song, definitely with some staying power.
So the charts are all about streaming now, correct?
They're about somewhat about record sales, but the way that they measure popularity now, they don't even exactly check streaming records, but they are electronically able to see what people are listening to and for how long they're listening. It's a much creepier way of measuring everything. You know, back in the day when you and I were playing records on the radio, they're able to, like, weirdly and cosmically be able to determine what people are listening to now. So, yes, that's, you know, part of, you know, why these songs have been around so long. I was looking at the top five. I don't have the list right in front of me right now. Not the Beatles, not Elvis, not, you know, any of the people that you might expect to have been charting, not the Bee Gees during, you know, the heyday of Saturday Night Fever. It's all contemporary artists. They're able to, you know, measure their longevity digitally, and that's what puts them on this Billboard chart now. But The Weeknd, far and away, much more popular than anybody else in the history of recorded sound.
They don't call places like Little Al's Record Shop anymore to ask sales are.
They don't check the Sears to see how many silver dollar surveys have been taken. Nothing like that now.
And I guess it's no surprise that Live Nation has announced that at their upcoming concerts very soon, I guess starting in October, you're going to have to show proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test, right?
Yeah, this is all spurred on by the apparent success they had with Lollapalooza not being a super spreader event, according to Dr. Arwadi of the Chicago Department of Public Health. So Live Nation has taken this as a sign that this is probably a good idea, probably a good way to get people to, you know, get back to going to concerts. So they are going to require vaccinations now before you enter any of their events. And Live Nation is it's a concert promoting company. If you've bought tickets, I'm sure you've seen their name. They put shows into Northerly Island and to the House of Blues, to the Aragon, whatever the theater is called out in Tinley Park. It changes names like every 3 weeks out there. but the major concert venues are almost always Live Nation shows. Maroon 5, for example, is going to be playing at Wrigley Field at the end of the month. It'll be next Monday that Maroon 5 is there.
But that's before this new rule takes effect, isn't it? Because I think it's starting October, Live Nation is going to do this.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's true.
They will start it
October 4th.
Yeah,
October 4th is the date. So, you know, be aware of that when you're going to be buying tickets. Mm-hmm. When you actually get to the gate, they at one point, starting in October, they are going to be checking for your vaccination cards.
So that means in the fall, even Dean might go to a concert. You never know.
We'll see. Still wearing my beekeeper suit to everything right now.
Can't be too careful. That's right. To you tomorrow. Thank you.